thinking of a master plan.
I'm not even better write it down. Let's do it. Let's get it.
Okay. Then you don't have no questions
check,
or
check.
Nothing?
Nope.
Okay.
Straight. We just going straight flow. Welcome to A Christian Podcast, the podcast where we have Christ-centered conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson. All right, y'all. So I'm going to let y'all introduce yourselves real quick. To my right,
I am Baruch Casal.
I am Samaria Somerville.
All right, let's get it. So normally, the reason I'm so excited, y'all, is because normally I have a little bit. I know where I'm going, at least a little bit. I have nothing. I have zero notes. I have nothing on this piece of paper in front of me. We're just going to go off the top. So a question that I asked myself earlier is, are you living a life that's worth the death that Jesus went through? So we know that Jesus died for us, right? If you're unfamiliar with salvation, go back and listen to the salvation episode. But Jesus died for our sins, and he died so that we could have life more abundantly. And when I look at myself sometimes, when I look at people around me sometimes, I just wonder, like, are we really living a life of abundance? And not only that, but like, if I'm Jesus, right, and I die for us, I die for all of us, and I'm looking down from heaven, and I'm like, are they really living a life that's worth my death? Like, do I feel good about my... So we say he paid for our sins, right, through his death. Did I get my transactions worth? Like, did I get my money's worth, quote unquote, for what they're doing? And sometimes I'd be like, so I'm going to start out by asking, in what ways do we feel like we're not living up to the standard that Jesus paid for? It's very, you kind of got to dig a little bit for this.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the little superficial answer. You got to dig a little bit for this.
So...
Oh, snap. Anytime Sammy say that, so she about to say something profound.
I'm actually not. I'm actually a little, not stumped, but I guess, okay, when I think of that question, I guess I'm thinking of as abundance, meaning are we walking in his peace, his love, his joy, his, you know, those types of things, or like, are we living... Well, I guess in a sense it could all tie in together because that's what he is and that's what he paid the price so that we can have those things. But I'm also thinking, are we living a life with him, just reflecting as him, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Like, are you saying, like, does our life look like him?
Yes.
Okay, when people see us, do they see him?
Yes, but I guess in that way, that's why I said I guess in a sense they can correlate, because if we do look like him, then we are reflecting, again, love, joy, like, you know, those examples, those things. So I want to know what...
Where I'm going.
Yeah, where you're going, yeah.
So, yeah, it's really a lot of things, right? Okay. So let me give you my... thought process into how I even got here, because then it might make more sense. So I'm thinking about, I've been learning and reading a lot about healing, right? And how the Bible tells us that we're called to heal the sick, we're called to lay hands on the sick, right? And that they shall recover. And when I think back on my life, I haven't really actively prayed, like I haven't actively healed anybody, right? Keep in mind, I'm not saying me healing, but because we don't have the power to heal, but through Jesus, I haven't been a vessel of healing. And I'm like, I've prayed for people, like when I've seen people that are hurt, oh yeah, God, please heal it. But like, when have I really gone up to a random man that I see that's in a wheelchair and asked him, like, can I pray for you? And I'm like, why not? And I'm thinking, and I'm like, yo, what is that? And so where I'm going with that is, Jesus died so that I could literally do that, so that I could heal the people that are sick, that are hurt, that are you know, and that's just one thing that I'm thinking about when we're talking about healing, you're just deliverance. There's so many different aspects of the Christian walk that we don't often walk out. And so I see people oftentimes that live good lives, but I'm like, is that all that God has for you? Like, I see people and it's like, you have a good life, you know, you work your job, 9 to 5, you go home, watch your TV, go to sleep, do it again. And I'm like, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. You're not living a sinful life. You're not, but did God pay for that life?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so to answer your question, it could be multiple
avenues,
you know, are we with God the way we should be? Are we looking like Him? So I know it's a broad question, but that's my mindset. That's my process.
Okay.
So what I was gonna say was to your original question when you're asking about, you know, did Jesus get His money's worth in essence, right? I say that, and what comes to my mind when I think about that question is, Jesus died for us because He thinks we're worth it, not because of what we think we are. And in essence, it's almost like God is betting on Himself because He made us in His image. And so He also made that bet knowing the fact that we still will fall short eventually and we'll still get back up. And so it wasn't really a bet on us, but it was really a bet on Himself that He will always be here. You know, and
like
so
that.
That's just how I look at it. And looking at my personal life, I could say there are days I'm like, you know, yes, Jesus bet, you know what I mean, His payment is worth it. And then there are days I wake up and I'm just like, no, today I messed up, you know, and it's not worth it. And so it's always fluctuating back and forth. And so that's why I'm thankful it's not dependent on me, in essence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying basically like, we're running on the grace that we've been given. And like He already did it. So it, like, not that it doesn't matter how it goes at the end of the day, but like we've done our, like as long as we show up and do our part. Is that what you're saying?
In essence, it's like saying we still need to intentionally do better, you know? So it's not like give up and just, you know what I mean, take a back seat. No, we still need to take an initiative in everything that we do, you know what I mean, to live a life that is pleasing to God. But like you said, I think it's all about when it comes to grace, because there is nothing that we could do to truly earn God's love, right?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like that whole performance. We go back to that whole performance aspect. It's like, okay, if I do all of this, does that mean God is going to be pleased? No, He was pleased with you from the beginning. Like, that's why He died for us. And so really looking at it as, and yes, I'm going to make the initial effort to do good, to do things that will please Him, not because it would please Him, but because this is just my way of paying it back. You know?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So that's just how it gets.
Yeah. So, it's a lot of like different ways to go with this question, right?
Yes.
And let's navigate it. So let's go. Did you have something to say, Sammy?
Yeah. I actually did. I want to answer the question because now that we're here. I'll just say this. So I know God has been dealing with me lately as far as, you know, being the average Christian and, well, not average, but, you know, being a Christian. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I definitely feel as if that He's given us as Christians is relativity and, you know, just being relatable. And a lot of times, you know, we don't have to preach and do all these things, you know, like just being relatable is, you know, very strong in witnessing about Him. So if I can answer that question, to be completely honest, I don't think that I'm living an abundant life or living it to the fullness. And I say that because you gave the example, like, are we just working our 9 to 5 and are we just doing this? Are we just doing that? And I when you said that, I honestly kind of saw myself in that. And I thought like, yeah, well, you are working your, you know, your average job and you just go work out and then you just go do this, you know, but what more, like He's given us these things. So how can you have more of that abundant life? And how can you incorporate that into your life? And so if I can answer for me personally, and I also think that it's something that it's not like a, oh, I got abundant life, like that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a working, a constant progress. Like, you know, you may not have abundance in this aspect, but you can have abundance in that aspect, you know? Yeah. So I feel like it's a constant thing. So there may be areas where I may feel like, oh, yeah, I'm abundant in this area because Jesus told me so. But in this area, like, Lord, I need your help. You know, I'm lacking in this area. So that's my
perspective. That's very real. So I could take that two places. I wrote both of them down, so we're going to take one at a time.
Okay.
First off, quick side note, I just want to be very clear just so that there's nothing wrong with working a 9-to-5. And that,
yes.
I just want to be very clear with that.
For sure.
My point was just the whole how we just kind of live this mundane life and just routine and not really allowing God to move or do anything outside the norm. Relatability, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that because I'm a huge, like, one of the, when it comes to my brand and everything that I do, relatability is, like, at the forefront of my mind. It's like, I want to make sure that I do things that are relatable and that I prevent myself from doing things that can make me unrelatable to the average person, right? With that, I think sometimes, as Christians, we can try to be on the other end. We can try to be so relatable to people that it's like you look like everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah, I get you not trying to be all churchy and look like the world. Or, but it's like, for example, for me, in one way that I know I have to start to change my content a little bit is that it can be so like, you know, positive that is like there's no... It doesn't draw anything to conviction sometimes or anybody to conviction because it's just like, here's a pat on the back, a nice little word. But because I've drawn from like, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want people to look at my content and get upset. But at a certain point, I'm going to have to get to a level where the word of God is the word of God. And so I'm not going to share anything outside of the word. This is the word. I'm going to do it in love. But people are going to, at a certain point, there will be a point where people will get offended at the stuff that I post.
Yeah.
But in that, it's like, don't be on the other side of the teeter-totter where you're just like, everything's good. Positive messages, gumdrops and rainbows.
Yeah.
Like, because you're not trying to offend anybody. And then the other thing you said reminded me of like how even in the mundane, right, even in like the day-to-day, we still have an opportunity to live. I don't want to keep using the word abundantly, but I'll say to glorify God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go to work. Let's say we don't change our routine at all. Let's say you do go to work, do work that job, you clock out, you go to the gym, and then you go get something to eat, you go home, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do just that, and that's cool. It's a great life. But are you talking to any of your coworkers about God?
Right.
Are you, you know, I'm not saying you got to preach to people, but are you throwing in little nuggets about Christ and little encouragement when you go to Planet Fitness, like, and that person that you always see that's like, they have an injury of some sort. This is something that I've been dealing with because I see there's somebody at my gym that, and I'm like, I know I need to pray with this person, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to embarrass nobody, but are you praying for the people around you? Are you, when you go to Chick-fil-A, is there something about your interaction with the people there that causes people to know God? Those are the things where it's like, you don't have to do this big old crazy, yeah, everybody, I'm a Christian. If you don't know Jesus, you go. Like, it don't have to be that.
Yeah.
It just has to be wherever you are you finding the opportunities to glorify God and bring others to Christ? And I think we often miss out on those opportunities. Like when you see your cashier and she's sad, she's visibly sad, do you just in your head go, oh, Lord, touch her? Because that's, we real quick to just be like, allow her to, you know, cause her to feel better, blah, blah, blah. We pray for her. That's good to intercede for people. It's great. But like, did you say, can I pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Did you take the opportunity to be like, hey, I noticed you're upset. Is there God loves you. Is there anything that I could pray for you about? That's the difference between average, boring, not really powerful, impactful Christian and somebody that's actually charged in the spirit and like making a difference on the earth. I know that was a little rant.
No, so, you're good. But I mean, actually, to hit on both of your points, relatability, it's a it kind of reminds me to Tia Cooper's her launch that she actually did not mean when she talked about like be free to be you in essence, right?
Yeah.
And I think every single one of us is in that in some form we're trying to play. I feel like we are acting because we're trying to play somebody else that we're not. And what everybody truly desires is to find somebody that is authentic. And so I think sometimes when we try to relate people, we're taking their role instead of trying to find a commonality. And I think that's what we do ourselves a disservice, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm learning now when somebody goes through stuff, it's like, you know, hey, look, you know, I've been through that too at a certain point. And try to find a way to kind of to bridge that gap. And either, for one, just be a listening ear, because that's really what some people need sometimes. And other times, really become the solution or help them get to a solution. I mean, whether that is truly praying for them, or sometimes it might just be directing them to somebody that may actually help them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to living abundantly and trying to exemplify God, I'm learning that it doesn't always have to be a conversation about God to make it like that, you know? Yeah. I think sometimes just the act of service that we do. And so if you see somebody hungry and you're buying food, to me, you are ministering, you know? Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And even Jesus said himself, what he was like, and he said, you would be offended. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so, yes, some people may not, you know what I mean, align with the context of your podcast at times, but it's like,
yeah.
Hey, if it offends you, you're probably going to continue listening to it because you want to hear the other point of view, you know? So, and that's probably triggering something in somebody says, hey, I probably do need to listen to this. Because I know there are certain things I listen to and I just be like, I don't like that. And I continue just to get their perspective. And so, yeah. I'm learning, like, offense is, it's inevitable. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just making sure we have a tough skin and a softer heart.
And that's definitely something that I battle with myself. That's just something that I battle with. But honestly, I come to terms, and a few things that I think of in those instances are, would you rather, for one, because we're all going to be judged. There's one day we're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. So would you rather that moment, that opportunity slip, and then Christ say, well, you had this opportunity and you didn't take it because of your feelings or your emotions at that moment or how that other person's emotions and how they felt. Mm-hmm. Or I also think of it as like, they can be mad, but they need it at the end of the day. Like, yeah. They might not know they need it, but like they need it.
Yeah.
And I was listening to, oh gosh, I don't know her name, but she plays off of Meet the Browns. And she has the shaved head.
She sings?
She does. And I think she plays off on Netflix like Black Lightning or something like that. But I'm sorry, y'all, for those that are listening. I can't think of her name right now. But
somebody in their car shouting it.
Blah, blah, blah. Exactly.
They want you to get
somebody right. Yeah. I don't know her name and I apologize. But she was actually, she put a video out one time and I was watching it. She puts out all these good videos.
Oh, China. China. When you said videos.
Yes. Like, yeah. And I love her. And so she put out something and she said, she gave the analogy that if there was a snake outside and I saw it on the ground and, you know, I come back on the inside, my friend is on the inside. My friend goes outside and says, oh, there's a snake. And China's like, yeah, I knew it was a snake. And the friend is like, well, why didn't you tell me, you know? So it's like, well, did you want me to tell you it was a snake? I didn't want to tell you because I thought you would be mad at me for telling you that there was a snake outside.
Right.
So it's literally the same way with us Christians. Like, I mean, based off of that person's feelings, I know it may be rocky and I know it may, like, be hurtful sometimes, even to you as a person. If they're offended, you don't want them to be upset with you. Like, you know, but at the same time, like, Christ suffered with those things. He was mocked, you know, and still is mocked to today. He knew those things would occur. So, you know, it's kind of like it brings back the question, who are we to think that we're better than Christ or we're bigger than Christ to where we would think that we don't have any, you know, type of backlash or anything to that nature. So that's just my spill on it.
And to your point, it's like actually causes people to have more dialogue. When you think about it.
It does.
When somebody feels offensive, it's like, like, why do you feel offended? You know, mm-hmm. like now I can actually better understand you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there is some good that comes from offense, you know, if we look at it from the positive light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, and that's where we get to like conviction, and it's like a healthy conviction where it's like, I don't like that you said that, but right. something in me knows that you kind of right. Like, right, you know, and then you right. get there. My pastor often says you can't always lead well and be liked at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we try to so hard to be liked and to not offend people and all this stuff. But it's like if we are here sent on a mission by God to do his work, to do his will, to spread the gospel, do that. And like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying do that in a way that's harmful to people or just straight up mean or rude or anything. But if you're doing it in love and truth, you're going to offend some people. And you just got to know, like, I'm fulfilling my assignment.
Right.
You're going to be upset, but I did what I was supposed to do. I'd rather you be upset at me than God. Because mm-hmm. he got mm-hmm. a lot more power than you.
Yes.
So I'd rather you be upset with me than God. And so, I think that was a great point. And then that brings me to, like, this thing I've been thinking about lately, which is, sometimes we don't need to pray. Hear me out. I know that sounds crazy.
We don't need to pray.
I know the Bible says pray at all times, pray without ceasing. I know. What I mean is, sometimes you just need to act. So, like Baruch said, you see somebody that's hungry on the street. Yeah, you could say, Lord, please provide for them.
Yeah.
Or you could provide for them. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? In that situation, yeah, you can pray. That's great. There's nothing wrong with praying about for this person. And you should do both. You should get the food and pray. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you know you have the money and you have the time and McDonald's is right there, hey, sir, can I get you something to eat? There's certain times where sometimes we lean a little bit too much on prayer and not doing. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So if I have faith that these people will get healed, if I have faith that, you know, this person that doesn't have a home will get food, that's cool. But it's like, who's going to do the groundwork to make that happen? We're the hands and feet right. of Jesus. So it's like, we got to make something happen. Like,
yeah.
we can't just inactively just pray.
And that's what he did. I mean, he prayed and he also laid hands. He, you know, he touched. He did all these things. He went to see people. So he said it, he leaned on, you know, his word, but he also acted it out as well. And that's something for me, I actually have to do. Like, I saw someone yesterday and he didn't really seem as if he was fully, you know, but, and I just said, Lord, just please bless him. You know, he's on the street. And then mm-hmm. I saw literally across the street someone else. And I said, Lord, just bless them. Now, me as a female and him as a male, it can be a little sticky sometimes.
Yeah, you definitely got to be, you have to be safe. Use wisdom and discernment.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not advocating nobody just go down a dark alley in the middle of the night feeding people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if it was, let's say if it was a woman or something like that, like I could have been like, hi, you know, how are you? And I could have introduced her that way. So I mean, I think that's something we're all guilty of, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. The Bible says to know good and not do it is sin. Like, mm-hmm. for that man, it is sin. So sometimes we, again, like I've said this in another podcast, but we get so happy about the fact that we're not actively sinning. Like, we're not actively doing things wrong, that we missed out on the fact that we, you know, we can be blind to the fact that not doing right is also bad. Yeah. And I just want to share something that really helped me in my, just in my mindset when it came to giving and giving to those less fortunate, because sometimes I would see people and I hear people all the time say, you know, I'm not going to give to this person because I don't think they might not actually be homeless or, you know, without home or on the streets for real. They might be faking or whatever. One, it does, like, it's not up to me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be a vessel used by God. Now, of course, pray about it. If you feel a strong leading from the Holy Spirit that says no, all right, you should take heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But if it's just you and your flesh, like, nah, I don't want to get this person done because I don't think they, who are you? And then it's like when I also realize my money is not even my own. Like anything that I've been given is only because God allowed me to get it.
Right.
And so then it's like, so you're going to really be selfish with money that you didn't even, that you couldn't even earn by yourself? And so when I thought of it like that, I'm like, you're right, Lord. And so once I thought about it that way, I really had to guard myself from judgment and from judging people and trying to like, you know, you be in your car trying to scan people and see like your shoes ain't really that dirty. Like, right. Like who are we to be like,
that's true,
you know,
that's
this
true.
Person, regardless of whatever, you know, people are always going to do wrong and be phony or whatever. But
I mean,
if the person had the humility to stand on the street, God, I'm gonna just do what I'm supposed to do, and if it's wrong, you'll fix it.
No, I think you're right, and it's somewhere in scripture where it's talking about Jesus saying, you know what I mean, what you do to the least of me, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. you do it unto me. And mm-hmm. so sometimes I give for that reason, because I just be like, that might be Jesus testing me today.
Yeah, there's you a
know? Like, and that's what I'm saying, like in the scripture it says that, you know, like what you do, you know what I mean, to the least of those, you know what I mean, you do unto me in essence. And so, but I think there's also a principle, you know, I mean, the Bible is like, the more you give, at least that's what I learned in my life, the more I gave, the more I received in abundance. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we have to be that channel, you know? Mm-hmm. And to your point, Kev, it's like, none of the stuff that we have, we can ever take with us. You know, it's like...
Yeah, like you can be, you selfish over the $5 right. in your pocket. Like, what you gonna do with that?
You'll get that back.
You're gonna spend it on a 4 for $4.
Right.
That's for real. Right. You could give him a burger, you can eat them like the nuggets.
True.
Like,
that's true.
But... Yeah. But I think, you know, something, Miles Monroe said something a little while back. You know, he was like, every time you see a problem or something that frustrates you, maybe that's God sending you to become the solution, you know? Because mm-hmm. truly, do you guys know what the most rarest thing on earth is?
What's that?
It is more rare than diamond and gold, but we see it every day.
What's that?
People. Like, there was never another Kevin in history, and there would never be another one ever again in existence.
Yeah. You know I was what I mean? Stuck that's for a second.
Like, and truthfully, it's like, when I realized, like, we're truly more rare than diamond and gold, and when God created it, it's like, he created us to truly become a solution to something on earth, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes back to what you're talking about when it comes to abundance, because we have the ability to do more and to give and to serve and to resolve problems.
Yep.
But sometimes we restrict ourselves to just a 9-to-5 or to just our day-to-day work, and we forget that, you know, this is just... This isn't my response. Like, this is something that I need to do to survive. But this is my job, not my work, in essence. You feel me? Like, God truly gave me a work to do that I need to accomplish in this life. And I think sometimes the day-to-day world really gets us, and I mean, it puts that on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And we just make, you know, I mean, surviving, in essence, our most responsibility. And then we're like, now we could get to that, you know what I mean, once I'm successful, once I'm there. Like, no, like, you could do it simultaneously. And that's what I'm trying to get back into, because sometimes I know I could go ahead and I feel like I'm focused on my purpose, and then I would shift gears because something at work, you know what I mean? And it's so much like work takes a priority for some reason, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I could give you all my day and night, and then when it comes to fulfilling my purpose, it's like, nah, I just do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like,
that job will do it. It will do it.
That's real. And it's like, but if we were looking at it though, it's like, God is truly our boss, in essence, you feel me? So like, we're doing that work just as importance to the way we're doing that in our day-to-day job, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of purpose versus occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So my purpose is to do the will of him who sent me, right? My purpose is to do God's will. My job, that's this one. Today, I'm a marketing director at a church. Tomorrow, who knows? It doesn't matter. As long as I'm fulfilling my purpose, my mission, my assignment to carry out the gospel, to spread the gospel, and to bring other people to Christ and glorify God, don't really matter what I'm doing. So we get so caught up in the, I work here, I do this, this is what I do, mom, here's all my, you know, LinkedIn. And like, that's great. I'm really not talking down on people that are like in their career. But don't get so caught up on your job that you forget your purpose. Because you can do that anywhere. There's people that don't have a dollar to their name. They're fulfilling their purpose wherever they are. They're spreading the love of Christ. They're talking about God. They're they're bringing people to Christ. They're on the streets, like, they don't have nothing. Mm-hmm. And they're fulfilling their purpose better than I am sometimes. So, don't get so caught up on that.
For sure.
So one more thing, just to backtrack a little bit, but I wanted to read it, the actual scripture. Hebrews 13:2 reads, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Mm-hmm. So you were saying, like, I might be giving to Jesus. Like, you really might be giving to, like, an angel.
Oh,
I have a short film on that. I'll put the link in the description. But yeah, like, you never know, like, what you're, who you're giving to, what you're giving to. And then last thing about giving, I know y'all like, why do you keep talking about giving? I think it's really important. And not only does it change your life when you give, but it changes the people. Sometimes we have the excuse of, like, I don't have any change, or, like, I don't have any money on me. Like, set aside a certain amount, either, like, per month or, like, quarter or whatever, and just be like, yo, let me go to the store or to the bank or whatever. Let me just get some cash. Mm-hmm. And just keep it in your car, keep it in your, you know, your glove box or whatever, your, you know, little center console. This way, just, you know, you can just get, like, even if it's just $20 in ones, you can spend $20 on helping people. And this way, you know, you give however you feel like it, but it just eliminates the excuse. Because sometimes we really be like, I ain't got it. We kind of be happy when we don't have it. Let's be real. There's certain times when you ain't got it and you see that person, and it eliminates your conviction, because you're like, oh, I really don't have it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can have it because you got it in your bank account. And it's not, we're not here just for ourselves. So I know, dang, why does this guy keep talking about giving?
No, I'm laughing because, I mean, I've definitely been there before. Yeah. I've been there before for sure.
But it's also funny because imagine how we feel when somebody randomly gives us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like, do you guys remember that feeling? Because that's the same thing somebody else is feeling when you're doing it for them, you know?
Yeah.
And so, because I know there's so many times I've been blessed and I'm just like, I don't even deserve this. I don't even know why you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like, it brought so much peace and joy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, why wouldn't I pay it forward? You know, because it is coming back, like, in essence. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one thing. And I was actually thinking about this, the other day. We live in a society where everything is it's mine. Don't touch it. It's mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me and me only. Like, you know, and we forget that, you know, God says, we give, it shall be given back unto us. Now, it may not be given in that same form, but, you know, we will receive something based off of our heart, and we should have a cheerful heart when doing it. So don't be stingy about things. And even when it comes to the homeless, like I said, I mean, I am a female. Ladies, I know it's not safe in these days. And even men, it's not really safe sometimes either.
Like nobody, really.
Yeah, really. But, you know, if you feel skeptical about it, like I said, you know, like, or like Kevin said, be Holy Spirit led for one first.
Yeah.
And then two, I mean, you know, look into different ways where you can give to others. If you don't feel like giving that $5 to an individual, maybe, you know, save some money aside and give to a organization.
Yeah.
You know, an organization that gives food or gives clothing. Winter time is coming up. And I know, Kev, you guys do the clothing drive. Give some old clothes that you don't wear. Like, you know you don't wear that shirt anymore. Right. Like, go ahead and pass that up.
Still got tags on it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So definitely just giving. It doesn't have to be. A lot of people think that has to be monetary, and it doesn't. You can give in other ways. So
To your point, it's like, when we give, you know, it's going to go back to what you said earlier. It's like from a state of abundance, right? Like, God really has blessed us in so many ways. You know, and one way to show that blessing and to truly show God, you know, I mean, that he is within us is in our giving, you know, and it doesn't always have to be monetary. It could truly be like serving somebody. You could give them your time, your energy, your resources, your wisdom. And it doesn't always have to be monetary, but just ability to serve. You actually are blessing yourself by giving, because it brings some type of it brings joy.
Right.
And so
right.
And that kind of goes back and I mean, being in that place of abundance, you know. And so, that's a good point.
Yeah, and then one thing I've been realizing in this season is that money, one, is a tool, right? Just from a strictly financial aspect, but also it's a tool to reach people's heart. Like, I really realized that being around my pastor sometimes is that, like, he'll give these big tips, and not for his own credit or anything, but, like, literally just so that this person can feel, like, the love. And, you know, he'll write, mm-hmm. like, a note with, the, you know, something that Jesus loves you, whatever it may be. And I realized, like, it's if I had to spend a couple extra dollars to make somebody feel the love of God, I think we would do that. Like, if once you really realize, like, the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, right? Mm-hmm. And so literally when I spend money on somebody, when I give this person a gift card randomly, or when I give my waiter a tip that's probably bigger than the way she was treating me.
Right.
But it shows them where my heart is. My heart is for you as the person that, I don't know who you are, what you are, whether you're a believer or not. It really shows them, like, dang, like, especially when, one thing I realized lately is that I enjoy the opportunity to treat people nice, especially when they're not treating me nice. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm treating you nice and you're treating me nice, that doesn't really show you anything. I'm treating you the way you're treating me.
Right.
When I treat you nice and you're being terrible to me, I had a waiter one day and she was trash. Let me be straight up. She was rude. She had an attitude. It was all this for blah, 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 blah. And at the end of, like, kind of towards the end of we eating and all this, like, my food was cold and she was tripping. I'm like, why are you tripping? You ain't cook it. Right. Like, did you make...
Well, I
just really just wanted you to ask to see if they could take it back. But why you got it? But right. Anyway, so towards the end, I'm sitting there. I never said any... What I just said, I didn't say that to her because I was really... I didn't say anything. I was very quiet. I was just like, you're good. All right. It's cool. So towards the end, I say, how's your day going? And she's like, you know, it's just, this whole weekend has been terrible. And she, you know, she goes in, her manager is terrible. Her manager me, and it's been a terrible weekend. No. It's long. And when she said that, you could feel like the release of, like, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, like, I finally got to get this on my chest.
Yeah.
And she was just so thankful, like, thank you for asking. And then from there, the rest of the experience was great. She was cool. Like, everything was, like, her whole, everything changed, right? I don't say that to talk about me. I say that to say, when people treat us a certain way, don't just look at it as the, oh, my God. Look at it as an opportunity to literally share the love of God. I can't, it's hard to... If you're, like I said, if Baruch is treating me nice, yo, blah, blah, everything's great, and I'm doing the same thing, he don't really know that I'm sharing the love of God. He's just like, he just treating me the same way. But let Baruch come in here, and he's like cursing me out and doing this and that. We might have a little issue, but, but you know, he's doing all this, and I'm like, yo, you know, is everything okay? You doing all right? How bad can you really treat somebody that's asking you these questions in the midst of you being this way? Yeah. And so I just say that to see trouble, see persecution, see those things where people don't treat you well as opportunities. Like, I know it's going to sound weird. Sometimes I get excited. Like, I see somebody acting, I'll be like, this is going to be great.
I got
this,
you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. This is going to be cool.
Like, it's a lineup.
Like, right. Yeah. Like it's an alley-oop. Like, okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. We gonna finish it. So,
yeah,
man. I got any final thoughts, final words? This was a good episode. It was so random, but it was good.
I kind of wanted to go back to in my head, I called it people-pleasing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But where, you know, sharing the gospel where someone might be offended, that whole thing. And I hate to circle around.
No, it's cool.
But, you know, I think of people in general and our generation in general. Everyone is very sensitive nowadays.
Yeah.
And even celebrities. So if a celebrity looks at you the wrong way, you're criticized instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things to me where just be you. I mean, be you, of course. But do the will of the Lord, they're going to talk about you anyway.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about God or not. So, you know, and I think that's also something that I also struggle with because I'm like, oh, I don't want to, you know, like
mm-hmm.
playing double dutch right now. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But I have to, I really have to drill it into my head and in my spirit. they're going to talk about you regardless. So why not just bless them with something?
Yeah.
You know, you could say you did your part. The Lord can be happy with you. You might not be happy with me, but again, you never know. Like later on down the road, whether it's 10, 15 years from now, they might remember what you said in that situation, you know?
It actually happened.
Yeah. And it could come, I won't say it could come to pass as if I'm speaking something over them or anything, but, you know, if I'm saying these things and then you see a result from the hand of God that aligns up with what happened, you never know. That could spark something. And I think us as Christians, we also think like, oh, well, if I share my testimony now, if I share this now, then they'll change now. They'll do this now. They'll start to, you know, like Holy Spirit's going to I'm sorry. I was definitely about to say Holy Spirit's going to activate. Y'all, he be activating seriously. Yeah, but no, he could literally activate in that moment, and that's what we think. But it's not always the case.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to constantly pray for people. Like, it's hard, and it's hard being nice to people when they're not nice to you. I know, like, lately, and I don't know what it is about the age 25, but like when you hit 25, it's like your life just starts getting tested, like, with all these different people. And it's like a shift. And it's like, whoa, what's happening, you know? But, I mean, you know, you just have to keep praying for people. And that's where I just try to and pray over yourself to say, like, Lord, this is not easy. And this is what I want to do, but I know what you said. So I'm going to go with that, you know. But, that was just something that I had thought about.
Well, I turned 25 in a couple of months, so I know I need to stay prayed up.
No, just kidding. I mean, like I said, not speaking anything, but for whatever reason, that age, and I've heard it from multiple people, including myself, but multiple people, I've just seen shifts on that age for whatever reason.
You do.
Yeah. And
what I would say is give yourself grace at all times.
For sure.
For real. But I think, to your point about self-identity in essence, our parents' generation, as I was told, is like they had thicker skin and softer hearts, right? This generation, we have softer skin and, and thicker hearts. And it's literally like our heart is lit harder, and it's like we're almost like emotionless, like to care, but we're so sensitive about everything.
Yeah.
And so, and we take everything personal. It's like, nah, just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I'm attacking you. It's okay, we can have different opinions. And so I think that's what we need to start working towards, is being saying that being ourselves, being free to be yourself.
Yeah.
Shout out to you again.
Yeah.
but with that, it's like making sure that still have a softer heart. You feel me? Because we need to have a soft heart to truly exemplify God. But be strong enough, that you still got thick skin in that sense. And so that's what I would say.
Yeah, that's good.
I think compartmentalizing stuff helps with that. Like being able to say, it's easier when you look at it like art, right? Like, let's say I draw something. I think it's beautiful. And Baruch is like, I don't really think that's that great, Kev. Well, offense can have me be like, well, dang, Baruch just said I'm not that great.
Yeah.
It's like, did he say I'm not that great? Or did he say the thing that I just drew is not that great? Because those are two different things. But offense can creep in and allow you to be like, wow, he just thinks that I'm just this terrible person and not a good.
Right.
Like, no, this single thing that you've created, this single thing that you've said, or that this idea that you share, whatever it is, I disagree with. I don't like. I disapprove of. But that doesn't mean that you as a person are disapproved of. And I think that's a big, it seems small, like, okay, yeah, of course, it's two different things. But like, nah, if you don't guard that, you'd be letting everything that people say affect you as a person.
Right.
And they're just meant about the one thing. So.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think like, well, if you don't like the art, well, I did that. So, that much, you know, like, what you trying to say about me, you know? And it's just like, no, it's not always like that, you know? So just have to, again, just be Holy Spirit led at the end of the day.
So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each and every person that's listened to this episode, that's made it this far. God, I pray that that the seeds that we've sown through this conversation, God, will fall on good soil, God, that people's life will be changed, that they will, the perspectives will be changed forever, God, that they will come to know you in a different way, that they will come to be excited to live out the life of abundance, God, that you paid for through your son, Jesus, Lord. And we pray that even now, God, that we begin to receive and understand the just really what happened when you sent your son, Jesus, to die for, and the things that we've received as a result of that, the freedom, the deliverance, the healing, that everything that comes with that, God. So I pray right now that we begin to walk in boldness and that we will begin to walk in freedom to be ourselves, Lord. So we just thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.